Blog Talk Radio.
And Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL. This is Falcons Friday. This is the first one ever. Trial run. We're going to be changing up some things on Around the ATL on a week-to-week basis. We're going to at least try it and see if it works. 646-652-4479. Tonight, we are talking to the Atlanta Falcons for a whole hour, Falcons talk. So, what are your feelings on the season? What are your feelings on the players? What are your feelings on the coaches? What are your feelings on management? What are your feelings on ownership? And how many Super Bowls did Michael Vick win? 646-652-4479 is the number. Of course, before we get started, we like to try to do a quick shout out to our fans on social media, primarily on Facebook. Such as Falcons Nation, Dirty Bird Nation, Atlanta Bird Gang, where I'm doing a Facebook Live right now currently. We are the G, the Savage Dogs of UGA, New Pack City, Atlanta Hawks Nation, Hawks Nation, Atlanta Braves Fan Group, and Atlanta FC fans. And let's not forget the Atlanta Dream Facebook pages. What's going on, everybody? Make sure you're following on social media, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Spreaker, Radio.com. Google Play Music, iTunes. You can listen to Around the ATL on all of those. Of course, you can follow us on social media on Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio, and Facebook, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Of course, don't forget, please watch the movie Falling Star on Amazon Prime. Go to Amazon Prime, type in Falling Star, watch the Okan twins star in the first self-created movie. They created the movie in their first trip to America. They live in London. And right now they're actually in Nigeria. So shout out to the Okan twins doing big things. It's my first movie I've ever directed as well. If you don't have Amazon Prime, you can go to IGTV and watch it on IMTM1. Or you can go to the Okan Twins YouTube channel and watch it there as well. Tonight's show, of course, is brought to you by The Originative Brand. Make sure you go to Instagram and type in The Originative Brand. Get all your Falcons, Hawks, UGA, Atlanta Falcons, of course, Braves gear, Georgia Tech even, from my man Jamal Price. Check it out. So that being said, let's go ahead and bring in our co-host for tonight. He is a writer of Sports Illustrated Bulldog Maven, as well as ATL All Day via FanSided, Jordan Jackson. Jordan, what's going on tonight, man?
What's going on, sir? Got a rainy night going on in the ATL. I'll reiterate a couple things you said. First of all, definitely go check out Falling Star. Big time Amazon Prime short film created, produced by Chris. And also, shout out to Jamal Price as well. But I just give Jamal a little bit of advice. Don't even bother printing up any Georgia Tech gear for your originated brand. No use of wasting such valuable cloth and printing material, sir. Shout out to Atlanta Talk Sports, big time Atlanta Falcons fans in that group, even though they do talk all of Atlanta sports. Unfortunately, one of the home to some of the biggest Matt Ryan, Michael Vick debates that you'll ever see on a Facebook page, but good people there nonetheless. So shout out to them, and also shout out to everyone that listens to us from Twitter. Appreciate you guys as well as all of those who will be listening to us on podcast form after the fact and don't catch us live, and also my 229 people, Albany, Georgia. But that being said, sir, as there is a train currently passing by me right now, let's get to talking about these Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
Welcome to Atlanta, home of them dirty birds. Anybody hating, get kicked to the curb. Any other team is absurd. Wearing black, white, silver. Red is for the blood. No one's scared of getting dirty, cause we came from the mud and we hungrier than ever. He rides, she rides, we ride together. Birds of a flock, more like birds of a feather. No one here to party until we get the Lombardi. When we giving up, never. Scratch it off your wish list, mark it on your calendar. A-town players, never right. Playing with no amateurs. 80,000 strong in the...
The Atlanta Falcons, currently 4-9, just got another victory, albeit most people don't want that to happen, of course. But we beat the Carolina Panthers yet again, sweep them again. We love sweeping the Carolina Panthers. 40-20, put up 40 on these guys. Just beat them into submission, right? Matt Ryan had 313 yards, 2 touchdowns. Devontae averaging 4.9 yards a carry. He had 84 yards total and had a touchdown. Brian Hill had 6.9 yards a carry. That means we were running the ball. Somebody was blocking that particular game, right? Zacchaeus had his touchdown finally after all that hard work and everything. He finally got rewarded. We know we lost Calvin Ridley for the season, but Calvin had a touchdown as well. Austin's back. He had a couple of catches that game. On defense, DeAndre Campbell got him another sack. Tack. How many times this season have we even said his name? But anyway, that's a whole other story. So he had 2 sacks. Vic had 2 sacks. He's trying to do the redemption tour right now. I don't know if it's going to be enough. Of course, KZ had 2 interceptions. This particular game, the best kicker in football, Young Hoku, once again, special teams player of the week, 16 points, had a 50-yard field goal in there. He's the man. He can do it all, right? Pretty soon he'll be running routes. I can see it, a real route. Watch, it's going to happen before the end of the season. So what do y'all think about the season so far? Those who are watching in Atlanta Bird Games page, let's see if y'all can type something, or you can dial the number 646-652-4479. Make sure you click the link so you can listen to the whole show. What are your thoughts of the season? Is it worth it for you to continue to watch the games? Have you already checked out? Did you check out 2 weeks ago? Whatever it was. If you are watching the rest of the season, what are you watching for? What are you looking at? Are you looking at Vic Beasley right now, and all these sacks he's starting to accumulate all of a sudden? Are you watching DeVondre Campbell? Maybe we have him out of position. I don't know. We know we lost Trufant also for the year. So what cornerback are you going to be looking at for the rest of this season? You know, do you care even? Maybe you don't care. Maybe you're not a Falcons fan. Maybe you're a Baltimore Ravens fan now. Maybe that's what it is. Let's see. Vic as QB. I'm going to just throw some stuff out there because I'm going to see if I can get somebody to say something about their Falcons. I just put on the page, Jordan, do you want Michael Vick as your quarterback? Jordan, what do you think of the Carolina game from last week as we get ready to talk about this Falcons team over the next 50 minutes or so?
I thought that Carolina game was probably the most complete team performance we've had all season. 40-20 score, put up 40 points. The defense got a couple turnovers in those 40 points to help the Falcons get that. As you mentioned, the special teams, Young Weku made all his field goals as well as recovered a fumble. And so, yeah, I thought that was actually the most complete performance that we put together all season. As you said, DeVondre Campbell, who I had been calling for quite some time to get more opportunities to rush the passer, actually showing some dividends as a pass rusher. Vic Beasley, as you mentioned, best game since 2016 for him Sunday against Carolina. He had 4 total pressures, 2 sacks, 2 hurries, also forced 2 fumbles on 39 total snaps. His Pro Football Focus grade was an elite grade of 91.4 for the game. So that's something that's a breath of fresh air to see that. But with that being said, as far as what I'm watching for, basically watching to see how some of the young players play. As you mentioned, now that Calvin Ridley's out for the season and there's no more Sanu, you basically have Julio as the only mainstay in there. You're going to have Russell Gage get a lot more opportunity. You're going to have Olamide Zaccheaus and Christian Blake get opportunities as well. You're going to have Justin Hardy. Never mind. Justin Hardy's not going to do anything. but he'll probably get more snaps, of course, just by default. And so those are some of the things I'm looking for. That Olamide Zaccheaus 93-yard touchdown from Matt Ryan on the play action where he broke loose on the bomb and took it to the house, that actually is the longest touchdown by a player for his first career touchdown. So no player in NFL history, first career touchdown has been longer than 92 yards, and Zaccheaus had 93 yards. So new NFL record there. But, yes, sir, that's basically what I'm looking at. Kendall Sheffield going to be getting – he's actually going to start on the outside now that Trufant is done for the season, but when they have three cornerbacks on the field, he'll go back into his slot position, which he's actually done pretty well at, and they're going to start Billy Ray Wilson on the outside when they have three corners. Personally, I would like to see the young six-round draft pick Jordan Miller out there as opposed to Ray Wilson. And, Chris, you know, I know it's not a popular thing to say, and I, obviously, you know, regardless, I'm going to watch the Falcons every week. You know, I mean, you only get 16 of these a year, and you got to cherish each one. But at the same time, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if they lost the rest of these games. Don't think they're going to have any shot of winning in San Francisco this week. Hate to say that, but you got an 11-2 49ers team.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Right.
I just hope we can win a game.
Well, we just won a game, Coach. You know what I mean? And we had a good little streak going there before the Tampa and the New Orleans game in which we just gave up too many sacks on Matt Ryan. Still think we could have beat New Orleans if Julio would have played. But ultimately, winning these last three games, Chris, and I know you hate to hear it, but winning these last three games is going to hurt us more than losing them. And we look back to last year where we won quite a few games at the end of the season and took our pick down to 14. It didn't do anything to carry over into this season, winning at the end of last season. It did nothing to carry over into the beginning of this season. We got beat down our first game, won our second game, and then went on a long losing streak. And so, obviously, you don't throw the games, but I think you put your young players out there. I mean, obviously, you're going to play the top guys like Matt Ryan and them, but you also play young guys as well.
646-652-4479. I think it would have been momentum if we had had different coaching staff. And I also think that could have made a difference if we just had different management to make better picks as well. That's a whole other story. I don't want to get into that too much tonight. So that being said, when it comes to momentum, I mean, nevertheless, these guys have contracts. They're out there to play. And with the NFL, like you just mentioned, it's only 16 games. These guys can't just be not playing and not getting paid. So if they can play, they're healthy. They're out there. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, right now,
you're
let's see.
You're going to play your top guys, Chris, real quick. You're going to play your top guys. But what I'm talking about is marginal veterans versus young guys you recently drafted. In that situation, I think you put the younger guys out there.
Yeah, and I definitely see the value in that. Real quick, Matt is at 3,500 yards. Devontae has 506 rushing yards right now, which – I don't even want to say nothing. Julio's over a grand. Devondre has 106 tackles this year. I didn't see that coming. Of course, as I mentioned, Desmond Trufant is gone for the year, but he does have four interceptions. He's never had four interceptions in his life. So that's something right there. I wanted to see. I'm trying to find it on here. Receiving, Jaden Brown, Zaccheaus. There was a point I was going to make, and I can't find it right now. Because I'm looking at the stats of the Atlanta Falcons as of right now, who has what, you know, and pointing towards whether it be on the receiving side, what are we going to, you know, who are we going to start relying on a little bit more? Can we see some people stepping up? Will people get an opportunity to run the ball a little bit more? You know, you got Brian Hill out there. He has two, touchdowns, and, you know, Freeman finally gets one. And you're talking about Allison not even getting any. I mean, he's played in five games this year, y'all. Think about that. Five. You know, we had gotten all these running backs, but like nobody is playing, and it's like, what is the rhyme or reason to that? I don't know, because it's supposed to be about production, right? So that's the thing, and of course Jordan alluded to it, but you have it to where, what is the pulse of the team at this point? And then going forward, what is it going to be? We know that Coach Quinn doesn't call defense anymore. So we have all these players on defense now, all of a sudden producing a little bit. Again, is it too little too late in regards to him being on this team anymore? What's up, Steven, Jonathan, and George? Because, I mean, really, like right now, it looks like he's coming back next year. I mean, right now, I don't see anything now that will prevent him from coming back for another season. As sad as that makes me, as depressed as that makes me, I don't see the tea leaves anymore. The tea leaves were at the point where we were 1-7, and if you weren't going to do it, then Jason Garrett still has a job, y'all. You see what I'm saying? I'm just saying. If he can keep it, yeah. That's why I said, if you couldn't fire Jason Garrett after that, you ain't going to fire Dan Quinn either. If we're just going
to
have
to that's still yet to be seen. We got 4 wins, sir. We could end up 4-12. You know, 5-11. I don't see how he survives that. There's some talk that they may keep him. But, I mean, what's the point? Because if he's not a good defensive coordinator, he's not a good clock manager.
What is he good? What is he good for? And that's why I've been saying for weeks now. But the thing of it is that
he's a motivational speaker.
And he's not even good at that either. So the point is though, what actions has qualified him to not be here anymore? Based off of, if you keep having all those losses and you keep having the performances that are not a positive in his weight of being a head coach, whether it be discipline, preparedness, things of that nature, making adjustments, he's the head coach, and he's not good at any of that. However, he's still here. What makes me think he's not going to be here? See, there again, at 1-7, at least there was a hope. But after that, it was just a matter of, well, if he's not going to do it, he's just not going to do it. And Arthur Blank keeps saying all these positive things, and he's our coach, and he's the man. And I'm like, what has Dan Quinn done to warrant this over his career here as a Falcons head coach? We have a Super Bowl appearance, but we didn't win it. When it gets down to it, that goes above and beyond everything else. If he had won it, the stream would have been a lot longer at that point, but he didn't win it. And so for me, it's just the principle of it all at that point. And you're literally wasting talent right now. You see what I'm saying? Because that, again, the whole point of, if you change where I'm not going to call plays because it's not working, and then all of a sudden somebody else is calling, not only just calling plays, but basically you got hands up, people different. Different people hands on, and those people are playing different because of that. That's foul.
A whole lot less
right?
Breakdowns in communication.
Breakdowns in communication. Oh, wait, there is communication. You see what I'm saying? So it's night and day. It was night and day. And see, that upset me because now we're talking about, wait a minute, this could have happened at 1-4 then, couldn't it have? What have I been saying? At 1-4, we hadn't even played our division yet. Right? If at 1-4, if we had played a little bit better, then all of a sudden after those couple of games after that, who did we play? I think it was LA and whoever it was, Seattle and whatnot. We could have been maybe at 2-5, 3-4, something reasonable, not 1-7. You see what I'm saying? Again, that goes back to ownership and management. You see what I'm saying? Again, if ownership is not going to make people accountable, your management is not going to make people accountable. Your coach is not going to make nobody accountable. Again, we're 1-7. At a certain point, you see what I'm saying? And it's sad to me. It's just sad because, again, we do have a window still. For all what y'all think, Matt Ryan is a great quarterback. He's one of the greatest of all time, period. We got one of the best receivers of all time. No, we don't really have a running game, but we haven't had an offensive line, basically. You know, a conglomerate offensive line the whole season.
Real quick.
quick.
Go ahead. 646-652-4479. Go ahead, Jordan.
As you mentioned, I will say that the running game looked much better against Carolina. Now, with that being said, Carolina has given up a lot of yards on the ground this year, but the pass protection also looked a lot better against Carolina than it did against Tampa and New Orleans the last two games. And I think Chris Lindstrom returning did make a major difference. And if you saw, there were some plays in the run game where he was actually able to get a block on a big guy up front and then get up to the second level and get a block on a linebacker like a Luke Kuechly as well. And it did make a major difference. And like I have been saying since we first signed him, Jermon Brown and James Carpenter just aren't very good, sir. And so
yeah,
a rookie who hasn't played since week one is a major upgrade over one of those guys. And it showed last week with him in the lineup.
This is true. Real quick, everybody. It was looking like a disaster, but at least it looks like we're going to try to make a fight of it. For our other Atlanta team, they're only down by three now. Atlanta Hawks 86-83 playing at home right now. They finally came back and trying to make a show out of it. Somebody from the Atlanta Bird Game page, Ron says, who do you think the Atlanta Falcons should draft with their first pick? Jordan, you're the draft guru.
Well, first of all, we don't know what pick we're going to get.
Go ahead, and I'll throw my thoughts in after you.
Obviously, like everybody else, Chase Young out of Ohio State, the pass rusher who's actually one of the four Heisman finalists, which we know how rare that is for a defensive player to even be a Heisman finalist. He's the top guy on the list, but if we win any of these next three, we're probably not going to have a chance to get him. We may have a shot if we lose these last three. Other than that, guy I'm looking at, who I think is probably the next best defensive lineman in this draft, and I still have got to do more film study on this year's draft, hadn't got into my full breakdowns yet, and that's Derrick Brown out of Auburn. Now, he's a defensive tackle, not an outside pass rusher, but he is, you know, just a great defensive lineman, disruptive guy. He's also a Georgia guy, in fact. He's from the Columbus, Georgia area, ended up going to Auburn, but. So, yeah, those would be my top two guys right now. Chase Young, defensive end, Ohio State. Derrick Brown, defensive tackle, Auburn.
I would be excited if somehow or another we would be able to get a Chase Young on this team. Because when you're talking about making a difference, I mean, again, that's what Vic Beasley was supposed to be, a difference maker. And you look at other defensive linemen over the years and just in the league even right now, They change the game. They make it to where your offense actually is even better because, again, a person like that, think about how many three and outs you have, how many more three and outs possibilities you have with having someone like that on your team. Okay. So that'll be somebody, and definitely the guy from Auburn. I haven't gotten close to even thinking about the draft just yet, so I'm not versed on a lot of things. A lot of people are like, well, this is the year to think about getting a quarterback for Matt's replacement, you know, for 3 years from now, two, 3 years from now, whatever. I still think that's kind of early right now because we just don't know the threshold right now for Matt. Some people are talking about we need to go ahead and get another offensive lineman for these bums that we got out there because, again, minus our rookie, we might need to go ahead and do it.
Andrew Thomas out of Georgia is very tempting because he's a bulldog and is one of the great offensive tackles, the best offensive tackle coming out this year. But I just think that we need to focus on defense. I mean, another guy who I wouldn't take up in the top five, but if he somehow, you know, slipped to early second round, which I don't see, is DeAndre Swift. You know what I mean? A guy who can do it, you know, running and catching the ball. And there's another dog player, so my heart, you know, likes both of those.
Man,
guys.
We don't draft no Georgia guy. Chris, come on now. Yeah, get out of here with that.
Yeah, and I'm tired of that happening. But honestly, Chris, we need defensive players first and foremost. And I wouldn't have a problem if we took and draft almost all defense in the draft. Now, we do have 2 second-round picks this year because of the Sanu trade. So if we took, you know, so we'll have 4 guys in the first 3 rounds. If we took 1 offensive player that we really could use with one of those, I wouldn't be mad. But the rest of them need to be defense, sir.
Yeah, we got to look at depth again because of what happened again this year. Back-to-back years, almost this injury, you know. And again, what are the 5 things that makes you a successful franchise? Owner that wants to win and allows management to do their job. Management who makes wise decisions over a long period of time. Good to great head coach, good to great players, and health. Health has just not been in our favor, y'all. We're going to have to look at getting another cornerback possibly. You know what I'm saying? At this point. Possibly even a safety. I don't know. Maybe even a linebacker. I mean, that is an issue. Go ahead.
Real quick on safety, you bring up a good point, but I don't know if you noticed. DeMonte KZ has been moved back to the free safety position.
Oh, no, I know this. All of a sudden, we got two interceptions out of it. See, but see, again, and then look, Jordan, this is what maddens me about this whole situation. This could have happened at the beginning of the season. The moment that Neil went down, you had it wide open to do it. You did just what you did last year. And that right there, dynamic changes the whole defensive side of the ball just with KZ out there doing what he did. But no, we didn't do that though. And we suffered, and all of a sudden we got 1-7. So, I don't know.
You should have never took the NFL interception leader out of the middle of the field in the first place. You take him out of the middle of the field and you put him on a receiver, he can't ball hawk and track the ball like he can from the safety position. And that's why all of a sudden he has 3 interceptions in his last 4 games since moving back to the free safety position. It's something that we talked about on this show over and over again, Chris. And for some reason, it took these guys 12 weeks, to 11, 10 weeks to see it. I don't understand it, sir.
It's such a waste. And again, that's what gets me. It's like, what are you really doing? You know what I'm saying? Because again, we're not taking the ball away from anybody. You know, we're not causing fumbles. We weren't getting sacks up until very late. Right now, Grady has 5.5 sacks. Sack has 3.5 sacks. Devondre has 2. Adrian Claiborne has 4. And as a team, we have 23. 23. Well, I was looking for this person. He has 6.
Okay. Well, a little bit better.
He has an outside shot of actually getting the double digits. I didn't even think that could even be possible, but there it is. You know, but again, it's a matter of, you know, you look at their interceptions we have for the year. We have 10 for the season. 4 of those, well, literally 2 of those at the very beginning of the season for, you know, Trufant, right? Sit down, you know, interceptions. We know how that was, right? So we're not doing a whole heck of a lot when it comes to them looking at the fumbles. You know, it's not enough. It's not enough. Mm-hmm. And again, like you mentioned earlier, you know, this Carolina game was the most complete game we've had the whole season. But it's like, why couldn't we have been doing this the whole time? And I just don't like the feeling of possibly really going into next season without a drastic change. We need a drastic change. And I'm all for changing it at the management position too, general management. I mean, all this time, how come it wasn't a concentration on protecting Matt? Why was Matt getting hit all those years for no reason? You see what I'm saying? Other quarterbacks ain't getting hit like that. You see what I'm saying? You know, I don't understand.
Kept trying to patch it up with 6-round picks and journeyman veterans as opposed to finally putting some resources into your offensive line.
And you know what? Here's the thing, Jordan. If you're going to do that, you got to have some great coaching. You got to coach that up. If you're going to do that. But if you're just going to throw some people out there just for the sake of throwing people out there, guess what? That's going to get seen real quick. AKA, we have no running game and we can't pass block. 646-652-4479. Another question. Well, not a question, but Ron says he thinks we should draft Derek Brown.
Yeah, one of my guys.
Yeah.
Brown and Young, those two.
Yeah, Chase Young would be a game changer. I'm not saying Chase Young is going to be the next LT or anything, but
he might be.
I mean, you know, I'll just say it. I mean, now again, we always do that transition. Okay, he's in college, da 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 da. But you know, Vic Beasley was in college too, and you know, he had that 1 year he had 16 sacks, and then he's done nothing since then. So I don't know, but sometimes you could just—it's the eye test sometimes, right? And unless he just gets into a horrible situation where the coaches don't care, and, you know, I don't see that out just Chase Young guy. Hey, all of a sudden, he's just going to drop off the face of the earth, you know, and not be a quality defensive tackle. I just don't see that. The reason I do like the tackle is Brown from Auburn is imagine him with Grady Jarrett.
Right, right.
Because Grady has 5.5 sacks besides the fact he's stopping the run, too. Like, he's been dynamically unstoppable. You see what I'm saying? What if you had a Brown in there, too?
He's the top defensive tackle in the league.
You see what I'm saying? If you have both of those guys in there, that you literally might have to double-team both of those guys, then all of a sudden, maybe Tack will do a little something. Maybe Beasley will do a little something. Maybe Devondre. Maybe if we ever blitz anybody. If we ever blitz anybody. We're even blitzing people now. We ain't blitz people all year, and then all of a sudden, wait a minute, why is that person running before the snap? Where is he going? That's the first thing I thought.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What is he doing? Is he about to get flagged?
Are we allowed to do that? We see the other team.
Somebody's about to go to the sideline. I'm like, this is a novel way to play football. Wow, you can actually run at the snap and actually try to get to the quarterback with more than just three people. Wow, that is an amazing concept. But anyway, 646-652-4479 as we continue to talk some Falcons football tonight. Shout out to those on Atlanta Bird Game page watching right now. So far, it looks like Ron, George, Jonathan, and Steven are online. So, Michael Vick looks like he's going to be a captain at the Pro Bowl. Michael Vick just had his rushing record broken by Lamar Jackson. Michael Vick looks like he's almost turned the corner in regards to his media presence, you know, things of that nature. So for y'all who are either not Michael Vick fans or Michael Vick fans, what do you think about Michael Vick over the last couple of years? You know, do you did hate him? You know, do you give him? What do you think on him on that end? If you are a Michael Vick fan, you know, how far does the forgiveness go? You know, again, remember, Michael Vick has not won a Super Bowl in Atlanta. Okay. Michael Vick hasn't won a championship of any kind in Atlanta. Okay. But Michael Vick was a great athletic player. You know, dynamic athleticism and all that kind of stuff. And he was on the cover of Madden and had cool commercials and everything. But again, to continue to laud over him like he won a championship here. And again, you can't give me no excuses about, oh, well, he didn't have players. No, you can't say that. Can't say that at all. Because he did have players here. You see what I'm saying? You can't absolve one and not the other. You got to go all the way with it. Because he's supposed to make people better. Isn't he? I think so. And so again, at a certain point, you know, you can whine and cry and whine about it as long as you want to, but the facts are the facts, and you can't get away from those. But he's on his second career now, you know, and he still reps AATL and everything like that, you know. So what do you think about Michael Vick's transformation over the last few years or whatnot? And if I ever get him on the show, I'm going to ask him, what was it like winning the Super Bowl in Atlanta? I'm going to ask him that question and see what he says. But I just need him to tell y'all that he didn't win a Super Bowl here. So that's all I want him to say, you know, because apparently some of y'all still think that he's won an NFC championship and an MVP and three Super Bowls and all this other stuff. He's broken all kind of passing records. Just saying. But then y'all look at Lamar Jackson and what y'all think he's about to do, and he may very well do it with nondescript receivers. Anybody's heard all the receivers? Think about that. You talking about what Mike Vick? You don't think Mike Vick had? Mike Vick had really good players compared to what Lamar Jackson is throwing to. So what's the difference? And Mike Vick was Mike Vick, and his prime Mike Vick. So you see what I'm saying? I try to understand y'all's point, but I just don't. I'm not going to see it. I'm sorry. You see what I'm saying? So we can talk about that as well. We got plenty of time. We got let's see how long we got. We got 25 minutes left. So y'all want to talk some Mike Vick versus Matt Ryan? We can do that. You know, we can do that. I don't want to really, but we can. I threw it out there. That's why this picture is on the promo for tonight's show. It would dare someone to call in and talk about it. But I don't think I'm going to get anybody to actually call because, you know, people are scaredy cats when it comes down to it, when it comes to Mike Vick, right? 646-352-4479 is the number. Jordan, what you got to say?
Well, first of all, congratulations to Lamar Jackson for breaking Michael Vick's single-season rushing record for a quarterback. And just to take a look back at that season, Vick set the record. It was 2006, and he set the record with 1,039 yards rushing. That season, he threw 20 touchdowns and had 13 interceptions and scored 2 touchdowns on the ground. The Atlanta Falcons finished 7-9 and missed the playoffs that season. And also, to put something in perspective with Lamar Jackson in relation to the Falcons this year, Lamar Jackson has now rushed for 1,103 yards on the season. The Atlanta Falcons have rushed for 1,050 yards as a team on the season. So that just shows you Lamar Jackson is outrushing the Atlanta Falcons. Honestly, sir, I see Lamar Jackson as what Michael Vick could have been if two things would have been different. Number one, well, not necessarily the top thing, but the first thing I mentioned is the fact that the Atlanta coaching staff did not redesign the entire offense around Michael Vick like Greg Roman has done for Lamar Jackson. And Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, deserves a lot of credit for doing that. Now, Atlanta did put some stuff in, like a quarterback sweep, a couple option plays. They actually were the first NFL team to do the read option handoff before the Miami Dolphins made it famous by calling it the Wildcat. But the other thing that should have been different is Michael Vick had to actually study his playbook, sir. If he actually studied his playbook and learned how to read defenses like Lamar Jackson is learning and improving on game by game, 5 touchdown passes yesterday, for example, something Michael Vick has never done, then, you know, that would have helped tremendously, and that's the thing that would have helped most, had Vick studied and wanted to be great rather than relying on his natural talent. So I forgive Michael Vick. I'm glad to see, you know, him rehabilitating his image. I think he did do his time. You know what I mean? He's done a lot of community service after getting out of prison for the dogfighting charge. You know, he's even gotten some TV work and everything. So I commend Michael Vick. I'm glad to see him do well. I definitely don't wish him to be down forever like some people do. But I will agree with you, Chris. The legend of Michael Vick is greater than the actual results of Michael Vick were. Michael Vick was the most exciting player in the NFL, but when push comes to shove, he never became a great passer, and Lamar Jackson is a better passer today than Michael Vick ever was. That's why the legend is greater than the actual player.
Yeah, and again, and of course, everybody listening, don't get me wrong, of course, either. But I just try to keep it real. You know what I'm saying? I had season tickets for 4 years during that time period at the Georgia Dome. You know what I'm saying? And I was there. Yes, I sure was. But I didn't see as many wins as versus losses either. You see what I'm saying? And, again, when you're talking about just sheer ability, he had it. But, again, if he had just taken the time, and sometimes it's not even studying. It's just the attention to detail and just wanting to be better, to be able to get his teammates to be like, yeah, that's my bad. Let me do better. Let me do this. Let me not do so much of this, but let me do more of this and actually lead the team. He could be doing what Lamar Jackson was doing 10 years ago and probably maybe won a Super Bowl or two. But that wasn't true. And remember, he's always played with the Falcons. He went to other teams too, and he actually did play better in Philly, didn't he? Right? And he had a better team around him there in Philly too, by the way. So again, even with his career ended in Atlanta, he was still playing, you know, but it's the principle of what he was capable of doing. He never reached that potential. It was always potential. Everybody has potential. There's a lot of people in the league that have potential, right? And not a lot of them have succeeded. I mean, to date, remember now, and again, for some of y'all who want to go on this tangent, right, you only have a couple of quarterbacks of color that have even been in the Super Bowl, much less play, just much less won it, right? Russell Wilson won it, right? Doug Williams wasn't no running quarterback of any kind, okay? And Russell Williams can run, but that is not what he chooses to do. He can do it. It's helped him.
He's smart with his. He knows when to get down, not to take the big hit, and when to run versus when to pass. He's very smart with his.
Yeah. So, again, but you have others out there. Deshaun Watson hasn't won no Super Bowl yet, right? Donovan McNabb didn't win a Super Bowl. Went to some NFC championships, but he didn't win a Super Bowl. Cam went to a Super Bowl. You saw what happened there. He's still traumatized from his. You see how he's dressing, right? So, again, we have to be tempered a little bit about what reality is and what it ain't. And I look at the Indianapolis Colts and how they lost their quarterback because they refused to protect him. But then you look at the New England Patriots, who guaranteed that, especially after that season where he was hurt for the year, that Tom Brady pretty much ain't going to get hit no more. And he hasn't. And he's played for how many years now? How many Super Bowl appearances? You see what I'm saying? You play defense, you run the ball, you protect your quarterback, you might win some games. You just might win some games. You might win some games. And here we are with a quarterback who, despite only having really one quality offensive line, like an ace offensive line, let's say not beyond quality, an ace offensive line, that was the year we went to the Super Bowl. They played the whole season, right? Matt has always had to scramble and run away from things, and he's still getting back up every time he gets hit. He was sacked 42 times this last year alone. Got back up every time, right? And then he's always had to outscore the defense, except for one year. That was the year after the Super Bowl, where we had a top eight defense. All the other times, we're just giving up all the yards, and we're just giving up all the points, yet you got a quarterback who still tries to keep you in the game, always having to come back. Again, the moniker Matty Ice doesn't come out of nowhere. How many times has he come back and brought his team back from victory, from being dead, or at least giving you a chance to win? That's crazy. But because we won't protect him, we refuse to, we won't get no blockers, so that way if we do have some quality running backs, they actually can get into an open hole because there is an open hole. But since we don't do that, I mean, again, this season is more evidence of it than ever. The Tom Freeman was healthy. You see what I'm saying? He only has 500 yards rushing for the year right now. Think on that. You see what I'm saying? It's just the principle of it all. We have to look at it from all angles when it comes to the franchise. And remember, there's a period of time we couldn't even win back-to-back seasons. Think about that. 3 decades went by before we had a season where we went back-to-back and actually had a winning record. That's messed up, y'all. Mike Vick was part of that era. Where was that at? You see what I'm saying? Where is your angst? Again, if you're going to have angst about certain things, go all the way with it. That's all I'm in. I'm just equal opportunity angst guy. You see what I'm saying? Chris Miller, Chris Chandler, Steve DeBerg, Joey Harrington, Byron Leftwich. Do I need to go on? You see what I'm saying?
Please don't.
I'm just saying, we've got to throw it all out there if you're going to do it. Go ahead.
Well, real quick, I just want to update injury reports for this week's game against the San Francisco 49ers. Got Isaiah Oliver questionable with the shoulder injury. He is expected to play. Got Ty Sabrello hamstring out. James Carpenter concussion ruled out. And Alan Bailey, personal matter, not injury related, ruled out. Now, for San Francisco, a couple of interesting names that have been ruled out this week. That's pass rusher D. Ford and cornerback Richard Sherman. So, there's some opportunity there for Julio to have a big day with no Richard Sherman there if we can protect Matt Ryan against Joey Bosa and crew, but no D. Ford helps that as well. The other question, I had a question for you, sir, and it's a question that's been raised lately, is it's third year of Tack McKinley. They got a decision coming up soon, sir, on whether they should pick up the fifth-year option. We got him for one more year guaranteed. What are your thoughts on that so far, as far as picking up a fifth-year option on Tack McKinley?
Well, just to make it honest, I think we don't need to make the same mistake. Okay, I'll say it like this, because now that he has 6 sacks, maybe it's not so much a mistake. That's what people will say on Vic Beasley and getting his picked up. Do you really want to risk whether or not Tack is going to get 6 sacks next year when he's struggled to get to as many as he has this year? And I'm talking about struggling. He was non-existent, and he's talking about himself on social media as that guy who sometimes gets to the quarterback, right? Do you really want to go through another year of that? I don't think so. I think it's a complete waste of time. At least Vic Beasley has some kind of, hold on now, at least Vic Beasley has some kind of history of having the plausibility of doing something. Tack hasn't shown that at all in his whole Atlanta Falcons career. All we have of Tack McKinley is draft night, right? That's all we have. He has not shown any dynamic ability to get to the quarterback in any kind of capacity, and it's a waste.
He showed he can almost get there.
He almost will get there. He almost, but not quite. So for me, I say a big no. I'd rather see Allen Bailey out there. I'd rather see Claiborne out there for another season. Old man Claiborne, I'd rather see that. You know, I'd rather see Devondre Campbell for that matter. Just put him out there and sleep, you know, bulk him up a little bit, but let him just come around the corner. I mean, we got guys who can't get around the corner still. How is this possible? We got no moves, no anything, and we're just out there. Meanwhile, Grady Jarrett's getting quadruple teamed, like Trey Young be doing sometimes, but he still gets to the quarterback. It's Tack McKinley, I think, is done here. I don't think there's no coaching that can change it, you know. And his ability is what it is. He's not a wanted commodity. I'll just put you like that. He's better than Duke Riley, though. I give him that. That's about it.
Oh, yeah, at least Duke Riley is gone. But the way I see it, I don't know. I agree with you in some ways, and I say this: the way that fifth year option works. Is you could pick that guy up, but if prior to that season you don't want to keep that guy, you can cut him, and it doesn't hurt your cap at all. The cap money is zero. So even though we had picked up that option on Vic Beasley like a year ago, we could have cut him prior to this season and saved $12.8 million. And so I think I probably would pick up the option on Tack. I don't know, the number is not going to be as high as 12.8 because he was drafted in the 20s and not in the top 10. But I'd let him know, like, look, we'll pick this fifth-year option up, Tack, but I better see something in year 4. If not, you won't get the same luxury that Vic Beasley got. You'll be cut before year 5. You know what I mean? So that's kind of how I would approach it. Now, obviously, I'm hoping that this would be a new general manager making this decision in the offseason. Because like you, I want to see it start from Dimitroff on down. Let's go ahead and switch it up, clean house, get a good offensive coach in here. But I don't want to give a coach full personnel control because that doesn't seem to work out too well. And I know a lot of guys are thinking that he might not leave and all that. And a lot of people have their, I guess, doubts. But my top guy, believe it or not, is Josh McDaniels of the New England Patriots. I actually think that this offense is talented enough. I think he knew Andrew Luck wasn't going to hang around the Colts, which is why he didn't go there, even though he almost did go to the Colts. I think this offense is talented enough and ready to win now that he would accept this job. He's my top guy. And after that, I like Eric Bieniemy of the Chiefs, and I like Lincoln Riley of Oklahoma if he would leave college. But I want an innovative offensive coach, and then let's build the defense and let's work with the offensive pieces that we have and just, you know, fill in a couple pieces here and there.
So are you saying that we should keep the dual defensive coordinator thing going and just go after that offensive coach with the talent that we have? Because, I mean, I can roll with Josh on that end, but it's like, do we need to also make sure that we do have something solid on the defensive end because we have so many problems with it? Because, again, it won't do us no good if we can score and we can't stop nobody. We've seen that in the picture before, and I don't really want to repeat it anymore because our window is literally the last 3 years of Matt Ryan. You know what I'm saying? And if you can keep him upright, you know, let's put it like this. he's much better than any version of people going out like Eli Manning, for instance, who basically is a 500 quarterback other than outside his Super Bowls. There's a whole bunch of other quarterbacks where at the end of the day, Matt Ryan is one of the best out there when it comes to if you protect him, he can hit anybody. It's just like any quarterback, except he has a propensity of doing it at a higher level than most. You see what I'm saying? And he's proven that. You see what I'm saying? So for me, it's a matter of, Josh McDaniels with Julio and Ridley and some kind of a running game with a quality running back.
Right.
Yeah. We will always be right there in games. I mean, we got who if we can keep Hooper. It's a matter of that defensive side of the ball, though. Can we stop people from running on us? Like the simple stuff. Can we stop people from running 180 yards on us or throwing over the top for 5,000 yards? You know, can we stop that from happening regularly? That's where these young defensive backs come into play as far as getting these reps. And that's what I'm looking for this last couple of weeks of this season. Can we get the quality of can you stay with your man? Within reason, okay? I know the whole, you can't stick him but so long and everything like that, running routes and stuff. But can you just stay with your man? Why is your guy here and you way over there type of a deal? You know, you're going to get deeped every now and again on a good move. But for the most part, can you play like some of these other cornerback squads for some of these other teams that I've seen, like San Francisco, for instance? You see what I'm saying? Or even the not so much the Rams, because, you know, besides Jalen Ramsey, they don't really have anybody over there that's quality. They've been blown out a couple of times before. But you have these teams that it's like they always are with their guy. You know, there's that one cornerback over in New England. He's like the virtual shutdown corner is alive in the NFL, but, you know, you've had the true font part of it for a little bit of time, but now that's – except this year it was a little bit more of a back-ended year for him. But it's a matter of we need some younger guys now. We have to get some guys who can show out. We have to have some guys that we can put some trust and faith in to say – can we play man-on-man? Can we play press coverage? Can we stop playing zone? I swear, I would be so happy we've never seen zone again ever. Ever. You see what I'm saying? I know it probably won't happen, but it will if we get a different scheme out there. And win, not playing zone. Because, again, Coach Quinn's downfall was, I'm going to keep playing this scheme, even though I ain't been in Seattle for 5 years now. I'm going to keep playing it, though, even though I don't have the exact same players that made this game successful in the first place. And he's just going to keep running it, and we're going to just keep seeing these people wide open. Catch. I can get out there and catch 15 balls on that defense if you keep playing it like that, because you've got people who are not in position. You got people who won't tackle. You see what I'm saying? And it just went on and on and on and on and on. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting, you know, if we do fire Dan Quinn, who's going to be the next head coach of the Atlanta Falcons and going from there, and will they be able to take advantage of this talent pool that we do have still? It's a plethora of players on this team. But they just got to be coached right. They just have to be put in the – again, Bill Belichick is successful besides all the cheating that he does. Hint, hint.
A whole lot of that.
Hint, hint. Always getting caught cheating, but the one thing he is good at is putting people in a position to succeed. And if you can't play, you don't play. See, that's a simple concept to me. Why are you out there missing tackles, Duke Riley, over and over and over and over again? How are you zeroing out on the stat sheet, Vic Beasley, over and over and over, multiple times? Just doing it more than once is just horrible. That should be the kiss of death. You see what I'm saying? But no, we paid them too much money, so we got to keep putting them out there. No, not so much. Bill Belichick be like, hey, you know what? It's been nice, goodbye. That's what he does. And how many Super Bowls do they have? There you go. So it's a recipe for success. But it seems like only like one team can do it, and that's just silly to me. 646-652-4479 as we get ready to wrap up. Go ahead, Jordan.
I think whatever offensive coach we bring in, whether it be a McDaniels or Lincoln Riley or Bieniemy, I think they should pick their own defensive coordinator. I just want somebody aggressive. I'm just tired, like you said, of all the passive soft zone. Somebody that's going to call some blitzes and just draft the great personnel on that side of the ball. Those are the main things I'm focusing on. But part of our problem, and like you talk about as far as keeping our quarterback going, and you mentioned 3 years, but I think it could even be 4 or 5 if we were to reinvent ourselves. And we need to run, establish the run more. A lot of that is blocking, but a lot of that is sticking to that. Let me give you an example. NFL offenses with the biggest pass-heavy percentage on first down. Falcons, number one in the league, pass 58.5% of the time on first down. On second down, Atlanta Falcons, second highest in the league at 70.1% of the time, trailing only the Miami Dolphins. So we don't establish the run game, sir. Dirk Cutter had a problem with that before when he was here. He still has that problem. And once again, you know, it was just not the right offensive coordinator hire for the Atlanta Falcons.
646-652-4479. And again, that became quite apparent, too, because what were we doing? Running the same offensive plays. So everybody knows exactly what we're running, so you can stop it. And again, I was incensed at listening to Tampa talk about they weren't running nothing that we ain't never seen before. So at that point, it's like, what is life? Like, you're going to just keep on keeping on no matter what. You're not going to make no adjustments. Why are you going to make adjustments? Just because I used to coach this team and they know everything I run. Smart. So, again, I think it's just time for a change overall. Overall overhaul. There you go. That's what I was trying to say. And Blank just has to be not scared to do it. And right now I think he's scared because he's so used to these people being around him, and it's a comfort zone and a comfort level. I understand that and everything, but it's about winning a championship. And if he got to respect these guys in the locker room. He's paid all these guys. He can't just be paying them just for the sake of paying them. He has to be paying them on the sake of we're trying to win a championship. And the only way to do that is to make sure that everybody's in a position to be successful. And he's just not allowing everybody to do that. And that's what scares me. And he's trusting some of these guys is way too much. And they haven't brought the results to warrant it. Again, you win a Super Bowl. Do anything you want. You see what I'm saying? You can't. You can't just keep doing it. See, and you got other quality coaches out there, like the young man who coaches the Pittsburgh Pirates, who he done lost like 17 quarterbacks, all of his running backs, all of his wide receivers, and they're still they might win that division. You see what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, like, it's
doable. Mike Tomlin's a great coach.
It's doable. You know what I'm saying? But only not in Atlanta, and that's not cool. So this was very interesting talk. Like I said, I wanted to, you know, get some outlines of singular talks for some of our sports teams in Atlanta. Appreciate those who are watching on Facebook, on the Atlanta Bird Game page, Ron, George, Jonathan, and Steven, anybody else who's watching that didn't click in so far, appreciate it. Make sure, again, you follow us on Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio. On Facebook, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Make sure you listen. iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Spotify, Radio.com, Around the ATL can be heard on all of those. Google Play Music, iTunes, CastBox, on and on and on. You can listen to the show. Make sure you follow my page, IMTM1, on Instagram, and watch Falling Star. Please do that, IGTV, or Amazon Prime. We're all over the place and got some big things coming as well. Jordan, where can people find you on the internet, social media, and read your articles on Bulldog Maven and via FanSided?
Yeah, you just said it. Sports Illustrated Bulldog Maven, ATLAllDay.com. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jordan23ATL, as well as in your local Facebook groups. You can interact with me there. Real quick, too, one more note on the Falcons. Congratulations to Matt Ryan becoming one of only 10 quarterbacks in NFL history to throw for over 50,000 yards this past week. Quite an accomplishment for a guy that his haters call old noodle arm.
Exactly.
But anyway, thank you guys for listening to us out there. And last but not least, I do want to thank God for giving me this breath that I breathe to talk about these Atlanta Falcons that I love.
Don't forget, y'all, around the ATL, we have fun. You know, this has not been the best year in Georgia sports. UGA just kind of capped it off for us for 2019. The Hawks are going to – we're going to see what happens next year for the rest of their season. You know, we're going to see this offseason of the Braves finish up. But the whole point of being an Atlanta fan is that you can hold on and there is a next year. So we're going to find out what happens. That being said, that's going to end around the ATL for tonight. You're going to hear more of us next week. So make sure you tune in and see what we're talking about on Around the ATL. Y'all take care. Peace.